Welcome to a personal growth episode of the IP Management Voice. In our personal growth series, we'll guide you on how to enhance your IP system contribution and maximize your professional impact. Tune in to gain valuable insights for your personal and career advancement as an IP expert. In this episode, you will learn about the importance of digital marketing for IP experts and the key considerations for developing your own digital marketing strategy.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're exploring a really fascinating and maybe slightly unexpected area, digital marketing.
Yeah, but specifically for the world of intellectual property.
Exactly. We're talking patent attorneys, IP consultants, innovation strategists, you know, the brilliant minds navigating some really complex stuff.
It's a field you might think runs purely on referrals, maybe established networks, but the material we've looked at suggests a pretty significant shift is happening.
Absolutely. So our mission today is to really dive deep into why having a solid digital presence has become, well, pretty much non-negotiable for IP experts.
And maybe more importantly, how they can actually build one effectively.
Mm-hmm.
We're drawing insights, you know, directly from the material.
It's all about understanding this new kind of professional skill, really.
And the shift is, well, it's profound. Mm-hmm. IP professionals aren't just providing legal services anymore. They're becoming educators, trusted advisors.
Facilitators of innovation, almost.
Yeah.
In this knowledge economy we're in.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
Which, of course, brings up a challenge straight away.
Right. If you're playing that kind of role, you absolutely need to be visible, accessible. You need to stand out, especially in what's become a really saturated global market.
Your expertise needs to be findable.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
Yeah.
Historically, you know, your reputation was built differently. Recommendations were huge, going to the right conferences, maybe publishing in niche journals.
And those things are still important, no doubt.
Oh, absolutely. Vital channels.
Right.
But clients today, especially the ones in really dynamic, innovative companies, they start looking online.
Yeah. Okay, so they're Googling you first.
They are. They want to check you out, assess your credibility, get a feel for your perspective, see if you actually sound like you know your stuff.
Before they even think about reaching out.
Precisely. That digital presence, it's the no first impression. It's become the initial handshake, really.
Hmm.
It's how you project that expertise and start building trust, you know, right at the beginning of that whole client journey.
Okay, so let's unpack that a bit then. What does digital marketing actually mean in this specific context? Because like you said, we're not talking about selling sneakers online here.
Definitely not. The material really emphasizes that for IP pros, digital marketing is basically the sum of all their communication, their branding, their outreach, but all on digital platforms.
Okay.
And the goal isn't the quick sale like in e-commerce. It's not transactional in that way.
It's about positioning.
It's entirely about positioning. Establishing yourself as that reliable, deeply knowledgeable go-to expert, but in a very specific area of IP.
Got it. So how does that actually look? What kinds of activities are we talking about based on the sources?
Well, creating content is really central. That comes through strongly.
Content like?
Think blog posts, maybe,
mm-hmm.
that explain complex things simply, or short explainer videos, maybe deeper dives like white papers or practical guides. It's all about sharing your insight.
And being active where other professionals are, right? Like LinkedIn seems key.
Crucial. Yeah, having a thoughtful presence there. Mm-hmm. And also making sure that when someone actually searches for your specific niche, maybe it's a patent strategy for generative AI or how to license biotech innovations, that you actually show up.
You need to be findable. Search visibility isn't just for, you know, consumer brands.
Not anymore. You need to appear when someone is actively looking for the exact solution you provide.
Right.
And also, maybe staying in touch, perhaps through curated email newsletters, and critically, having a professional website that's your digital home base where everything lives.
So it really is less buy now and much more learn from me, trust my perspective.
That's the fundamental difference, yeah. The material calls it authority-based marketing.
Yeah.
You're not pushing a sale. You're pulling clients toward you because mm-hmm. you're relevant, you're helpful, and you've got this clear reputation for expertise.
Okay, that distinction really clarifies things. But, you know, how do you actually do this strategically? It can feel like a massive task. Where does an IP expert even begin?
Well, the good news is the material offers a pretty clear roadmap. It outlines some key foundational elements. And the first one, probably the most critical step,
yes,
is positioning and specialization. Before you write a single blog post or update LinkedIn, you need absolute clarity on who you serve and the specific problems you solve for them.
Because if you're just a generalist in this noisy market,
you get lost. Generalists are hard to remember, the sources say, but specialists, they stick in your mind.
So you need to carve out a niche. How do you figure that out? What kinds of questions should someone be asking themselves?
The material suggests getting specific. Like, what industries or technologies do I really understand deeply, not just superficially? What kinds of client questions or challenges do I handle best, maybe even enjoy tackling most?
Looking for patterns.
Exactly. What problem patterns do I see again and again and consistently help clients solve?
Right. That kind of self-reflection should lead to a much sharper positioning statement, I imagine.
Definitely. Something much more focused than just, you know, I'm an IP lawyer. The material had a great example, something like, I help medical device companies translate complex innovations into defendable European patent strategies.
Okay, yeah, that's super clear. You know exactly who they help and what they do.
Instantly.
Yeah.
And that clarity, that statement, it becomes your North Star. It guides all your communication from then on.
Makes sense. So once you've got that positioning nailed down, what's the next foundation?
The second one flows directly from it, educational content and value creation. This is where you actively build that trust we were talking about earlier.
Right, by actually sharing your insights, showing how you think.
Yes, because trust in the IP space, it isn't built overnight. It's certainly not built through marketing hype. It's earned by demonstrating you understand the complexities and, crucially, that you can offer clarity. Your content is your stage for that.
It's showing your work, essentially, showing how you approach problems.
Exactly. And showing your grasp of the real-world impact on your clients.
So what makes content good content in this specialized field? It can't just be anything.
No, the material is pretty clear on this. Good content here needs to break down complexity without dumbing it down too much.
Okay.
So maybe explaining the practical implications of something like the unitary patent system in language your target clients can actually use, it needs to tackle real, practical questions they're wrestling with.
Like IP strategy for a SaaS startup, perhaps?
Perfect example. And it should be really focused on application, using maybe hypothetical examples or anonymized case studies, discussing industry-specific challenges.
So it's about giving real understanding, practical takeaways, not just reciting the law.
Absolutely. Whether that comes out as a quick LinkedIn post, a more detailed blog article, maybe a short video explaining a concept, or even a downloadable checklist, the aim is always to contribute genuine value to their understanding.
Okay, got it. Positioning first, then valuable content. What comes next in the strategic foundation?
The third piece is platform relevance and consistency. And the sources offer some pretty practical advice here. You don't need to be everywhere.
That's a relief.
Isn't it? Focus on where your ideal clients actually are professionally. Where do they spend their time? Where do they look for information?
And for most IP professionals, I'm guessing that means LinkedIn is pretty high on the list.
It's usually central, yeah. The main professional network,
yeah.
Then your own website or your firm's site that's your essential hub. That's where people go for the full picture.
The home base.
Exactly. Other channels, like maybe writing for industry publications or speaking at relevant webinars, those can definitely extend your reach. But you start strategically with the core platforms.
And consistency across these is key.
Non-negotiable. The material really hammers this point. Your tone of voice, your core message, even the look and feel, it should all feel consistent wherever someone bumps into you online.
Because inconsistency feels jarring.
It creates friction.
Yeah.
It erodes that trust you're trying to build. Consistency builds recognition, reinforces your positioning. It just feels more professional and reliable.
Right. Okay. And the fourth foundational element.
That would be searchability and digital footprint.
Mm.
Because even the most brilliant, insightful content is basically useless if people can't find it when they're actually searching for the help you offer.
So is this where complex SEO comes in, keywords and technical stuff?
Actually, the material suggests it's often simpler for this audience. It's more about basic clarity and making sure the digital breadcrumbs lead back to you effectively.
How so?
It means naturally using the terms your clients would actually use when they're searching for expertise like yours, weaving those terms into your content, into your profiles.
Like on LinkedIn.
Definitely. Optimizing your LinkedIn profile headline at that about section. Clearly state what you do and who you help. Using those client-focused terms. And honestly, just making sure that when someone Googles your name, your specific focus areas, and your relevant professional info pop up easily.
So it's about being clearly findable for your specific niche.
Exactly. Creating that clear, easily discoverable trail of your professional competence online.
Okay, so we've covered the what what digital marketing means here and the strategic how those four foundations. But the sources really emphasize that this isn't just a nice to have anymore. It's becoming essential, non-negotiable even. What's driving that urgency?
There are several really powerful forces at play, according to the material. First off, client expectations have just fundamentally changed.
How so?
Today's clients, especially if they're in fast-moving tech or innovation sectors, they're digitally savvy. Mm-hmm. They expect you to have a credible online presence. They don't just rely on old directories or wait for a referral anymore.
They research online first. They compare.
They absolutely do. They look for validation of your expertise online before they even consider making contact.
So if you're not visible online,
you're essentially invisible to a huge and growing segment of the market. Second big force, credibility is increasingly earned and judged online. It's not just about your degree or the name of your firm anymore. Clients judge your expertise, your relevance, your trustworthiness based on the insights you share online.
By what you publish.
Yes, and by the engagement around your content and whether your perspective seems to match the challenges they're facing right now. It's about actively managing your professional narrative in public view.
Controlling the perception.
Exactly. Because that first impression is now so often digital. Third, the IP market itself is just way more competitive and fragmented than it used to be.
Right. Expertise isn't just in law firms.
No. You've got specialist consultants, you've got in-house teams doing more, tech transfer offices, even legal tech platforms are offering pieces of the IP puzzle.
So you have to actively signal your specific value.
You really do. You need to differentiate yourself clearly. And finally, there's globalization and the rise of remote work. Your potential clients could literally be anywhere.
Geography isn't the barrier it once was.
Not at all.
Yeah.
And your digital presence is what bridges that gap. It's what allows a potential client, maybe halfway across the world, who needs exactly your niche expertise to actually find you, understand what you do, and see how you can help them.
Wow. Okay, when you list those forces together, the urgency really hits home. But I can easily imagine this all sounds incredibly daunting, especially for professionals trained in law or science or tech, not marketing. The material talks about common challenges, right?
Yep.
And solutions.
It absolutely does. And thankfully, it offers some really practical, down-to-earth solutions. The first big one is often just that feeling, ugh, I'm not a marketing person.
Yeah, that discomfort. It feels different, maybe even a bit unseemly.
It can feel that way. There can be a perceived clash between doing rigorous, precise professional work and, you know, putting yourself out there online. The solution offered is a reframe. You're not trying to become some kind of marketing guru. You're simply educating. You're serving a wider audience than just your current clients. Think of your digital content as just an extension of the valuable explanations and clarity you already provide day to day.
That's a helpful way to think about it. I think the material had a great rule of thumb, too, if you've explained something clearly to, say, three different clients.
It's almost certainly perfect fodder for a blog post or a LinkedIn update.
Exactly.
It grounds the whole process back in your actual expertise and the real needs of the people you help.
Okay, what about the next big challenge? I just don't have time. The billable hour is king.
Always a factor. The key advice here is start small. Build simple, manageable routines. You don't need to publish content daily or even weekly at first.
Just get started.
Yes. Maybe commit to one thoughtful LinkedIn post a month. Or one short article per quarter. Look for ways to repurpose things you already have internal presentations, client memos, anonymized, of course.
Smart. Little hacks.
Even just recording quick voice notes on your phone when you have an insight and getting those transcribed later. Batching tasks can help too. Set aside 2 hours one afternoon to draft a couple of posts. It's about consistency over volume, especially initially.
Okay. What about the, I don't know what to say, barrier? Feeling like every post has to be some groundbreaking revelation.
Which is funny because these experts have such deep knowledge. But content creation feels different.
Yeah.
The solution is you don't need radical originality every single time.
Yeah.
You just need to be helpful and relevant to your specific audience. The material suggests using simple prompts rooted in your everyday work.
Thanks, you.
Things like, a common question my clients ask is, or, here's how a recent court ruling might affect X industry, or maybe what people often misunderstand about trademark dilution is.
Yeah.
Your daily practice is an endless wellspring of useful content.
Using your real-world work as the inspiration. Okay. Then there's the discomfort. It feels too self-promotional. Putting yourself out there feels awkward for many professionals.
Very common and totally understandable. The fix. Shift the focus entirely. Make it about the audience, not about you.
How do you do that?
Instead of saying, "We won this major case," frame it around the lesson learned. Something like, "In a recent case involving Y technology, we saw just how crucial Z principle was. Here's what every company working with Y tech should consider regarding Z."
Ah, so you highlight the insight, the takeaway for them.
Exactly. You shift the spotlight onto the value and the learning for others. It feels much less like bragging and more like sharing useful knowledge.
That's clever. Value first. And the final hurdle mentioned, I don't know which tools to use. The tech options can seem overwhelming.
Website builders, social media schedulers, email platforms. Yeah, it's a lot.
Where should you even start?
The strong advice from the sources is start simple. Master the essentials first. LinkedIn is usually your primary professional network. Your website is your non-negotiable home base. Maybe have a basic content plan, even just a quarterly theme to keep you focused.
Just those basics.
Start there. Get comfortable and consistent with those. Only add more complex tools or platforms when you genuinely feel you need them and, crucially, when you know you'll actually use them consistently. Don't let the tech paralyze you.
Keep it manageable. Focus on the strategy, not just the tools.
Precisely. Take those first strategic steps consistently.
Okay, so wrapping this all up, it really sounds like digital marketing for IP experts isn't about chasing likes or becoming some kind of online influencer.
Not at all. The way the material frames it, it's about giving your deep, valuable expertise a clear voice in the digital world, where clients are increasingly looking for answers and vetting who they work with.
It's presented less as marketing and more as a new professional competency.
Yeah, almost like a necessary evolution for how professionals need to operate today to stay relevant and effective.
And those core reasons why it matters so much boil down to those big shifts we discussed. Client expectations have changed, credibility is built differently now, the market's more competitive, and globalization makes your digital footprint your global reach.
Exactly. The goal isn't necessarily digital domination. It's about confidently, clearly, and consistently occupying your specific niche online, making your hard-won expertise discoverable, understandable, and trustworthy.
So ultimately, this helps IP experts continue doing what they do best.
Right. Which isn't just about protecting innovation with legal fences, but actually helping that innovation get found, get understood, be appreciated, and ultimately flourish out there in the world.
So a final thought then for you, our listener, to consider. If your expertise is truly invaluable, but it remains largely hidden online from the very people who could benefit most from it, what opportunities for innovation itself might be getting missed?
Thanks for tuning into this personal growth episode. You can find more in-depth resources on this topic and many others in our resource hub, linked in the show notes. And remember, if you have questions about personal growth or boosting your IP system contribution, feel free to reach out anytime.